So let's get to the sermon. This message is different than usual. Because we have two people, we're going to look at those two people and what Scripture says about them. When Scripture writes, it writes very specifically and uses very specific words. It's not like, well, let's just talk about this guy and just write some general things. The words are there for a very distinct purpose. So, but first, let's get to your happy place. Do you know where your happy place is? Know where your happy place is? What do you do to relieve the stress of life? Okay, and it would be fascinating for me to hear all the different ways that you all do that. What would the people in your life say you do when you get to the point of leave me alone? Okay, how would they finish the sentence? When he gets exhausted, he blanks. And be honest, I delivered this sermon many years ago, reformatted it for today's, but it was after preaching it, after the first service, that some woman came up to me and says, "Pastor, you're absolutely right about he blanks." Yeah, he goes blank. Don't talk to him, don't expect anything from him, because he just has a blank look on his face, and you know it's time not to try to communicate with him. So here comes the focus of the sermon. What gives you peace of mind? What comforts you when the burdens get too heavy? When you're pushed to the edge, how do you step back so that you don't look like an idiot yelling and screaming at the service person behind the service counter? What do you do? We're going to look at two believers today who understood what it meant to seek peace of mind and to look for comfort in a chaotic world. Comfort in a chaotic world. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't live in a chaotic world. You're free to disagree with that. You can free to say, "Oh no, we're at peace, Pastor. Everything's nice and everything's going along well." Yeah, probably not. Let's look at Simeon and look at how Scripture portrays him. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. So what? What do we know? He lives in Jerusalem. Whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Ah, I love when the translators pick a word that is so common, consolation. I bet you used that at least seven times this past week, right? Yeah, no. Consolation, isn't that what they give the third place finisher? Right? Yeah. Or worse, the last place, you know. And just think, I'm going to suggest that the better word for here would be comfort. That Simeon was looking for the comfort of Israel. So next time you're at some kind of tournament and they give the consolation, you can laugh and chuckle and say, that ain't no comfort to them. Ain't no comfort to them. If anything, the coach, as one of my coaches once did, kept it on, "We're never going to be in third place again. We're never going to get another one of those prizes. We're never going to be consoled ever again." And I'm like, yeah, so he worked us to death. Yeah. But this is different. Simeon is looking for comfort and consolation of Israel. Simeon was looking for comfort from the hassles, the burdens, and interestingly, his own flaws, his own sins, his own shortcomings, and the heartaches of this life. He knew there was something better coming because he knew the Old Testament. He knew that some Messiah was coming and going to take away all of these hassles and all of these burdens. And I suspect that many of us, if not all of us, certainly by the time you're in your mid-20s, you have disappointment in your life. And I suspect that some of you may be there right now. And maybe this sermon is for you. When Simeon wasn't at church, or in this case, temple, was he a whining, complaining type person? Do you think you see Simeon going about his work, complaining about how terrible the world was? Which it surely was. I mean, the Romans were there. A foreign government was controlling Israel for a thousand plus years. Israel had kind of did their own thing, but then China showed up and started Rome. But to get you thinking about, what if another country started collecting your taxes? How would you feel? Would you whine and complain about how terrible they were? Was Simeon that way? Whining and complaining about everything? No, I don't think Simeon was. But you all have people in your life, right? That are whiners and complainers about everything that's wrong in this world. And quit looking at your spouses. But you know, you have that person in your life, don't you? Tragically, some mornings when you get up, go shower, and look in the mirror, they're right there. Yeah, we all have those days, don't we? Was Simeon that way? I don't think so. Because how does Scripture describe him? That he was righteous and devout. Righteous. Would you describe the complainer in your life as righteous and devout? No. We'd be more likely, oh, righteous and devout? No. But he's real devoted to being right. Right? You know, you can take those two words and go like, yeah, if you do them the other way, that works for that person. But not Simeon and not us, Christians. What we can describe is a person who respected all people, held himself to a high standard, but forgave others and did not hold them to that high standard. He was quicker to forgive than condemn. That's righteousness. That's how the Old Testament uses it. That righteousness is about admitting my own faults and seeking God's forgiveness so that I could get right with God. Simeon knew he didn't measure up. That's why he's devout. He's devout because why talk to anybody who comes, any Christian who comes to church like every Sunday? What's one of the things you like? What's one thing you look forward to? Confession and absolution. And I don't know whether I paused long enough in that part of the service. For us pastors, it's always like, how long do you pause? Because no matter how long you pause, the old people will say, why did you go on so quickly? And the young people will say, why did you take so long? And in my experience, as you age, you see more and more of your shortcomings, the sins, the heartaches, and the troubles in the world. And like Job's dedication and devoutness, Job, remember Job? We sometimes miss this in chapter 1. What did Job, what's the first scene that we see Job doing in the Old Testament? He's getting up early in the morning. He's going to go sacrifices. Why? For his children. Why? It, just in case one of them sinned. And so Simeon's in the temple that day. What purpose? To give sacrifices for his sin. Simeon knew he didn't measure up. That's why he's devout. He repented constantly because that's the righteous thing to do. You know that in your relationships when somebody has hurt you or you've hurt somebody. What's the only way to restart that relationship? Say you're sorry. Gail and I watched an interesting movie last night. Was that on Pure? I think that was on PureFlix. It was on PureFlix, which is kind of a Christian streaming service. And it was Santa and Me, what was that name? Anyway, it was about two people who met each other now, like, you get the impression they're in their early 30s. They had been high school mates, and he had been an absolute torment to her. I mean, as the movie winds through, you, like, every 10 minutes, you hear another horror story from her, how he tormented her. And as the movie goes on, at the beginning of the movie, he's like, well, you know, we were just kids. You know, that's what teenage boys do. And as the movie goes on, it's like, he wakes up, it's like, oh, yeah, I bet that did hurt you. And then finally, near the end of the movie, he's able to say, I'm sorry. And that's kind of how life goes for us. You know, oh yeah, I was a party animal when I was in my 20s. You know, that's what boys do. They sold their wild oats. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you don't have to do that. Maybe that was stupid, dumb, and I need to apologize. Simeon was there, but he hoped, he kept his faith in the promised one to come. Why do we know this? Because Scripture tells us he was waiting for the comfort of Israel, just as we wait for Jesus' return. Our faith is the same way. We're both waiting. The same faith Simeon had, we have in the Messiah that did come into our corrupt and hurting world, into our corrupt and hurting lives, and made our dead souls alive and saved them. And that comforted Simeon. That day, he got to see the Savior. The other person we know much less about, Anna. She's a whole different story. Anna suffered a tragedy early in her life. What was that tragedy? 7 years from her virginity, meaning 7 years after she got married, her husband died. So, somewhere in her mid-20s. Have you ever met a widow in her mid-20s? Do you know, maybe one of the ladies here was a widow in her mid-20s. Pretty terrible, isn't it? It's some of the hardest counseling I have ever done. Because their whole life was in front of them, and now nothing. What was even worse is the widower in their 20s. Unconsolable, almost unconsolable. And now Scripture says, and there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. That's an important point. Advanced in years. She was just not old. She was like way old. You know, like my 97-year-old mother, who up until she was 91, 92, claimed she wasn't elderly. Now in the last year or two, yeah, she admits she's elderly. Whew, I could only wish. Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him, to speak of Jesus, to who all were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Even though her life had been tragic, this widow did not lose her faith. How many people have I known who have had a tragedy in their life and they immediately quit coming to church? God hurt me, so I'm going to hurt God by not worshiping him. Now, some translations will say 84 years from when she was a widow. We don't know. The Greek there is so vague as, was she 84 now, or was she 84 years plus when she was a widow? Which, if that's the case, this woman would have been over 100 years old. You know what? It's one of those issues, like, if it's still an issue for you in 100 years, you can ask Anna. She'll let you know how old she was. She, like Simeon, was devout. She went to the temple to worship constantly. Night and day, one can imagine she was probably the first person at the gate when they opened in the morning, and she was the last one to leave at night. And one wonders if some priest, as the sun set in the west, would say, "Anna, you have to leave now. Prayer time is over. You need to go home." And she's there in the temple courtyards, and she's, interestingly, in the women's section. The temple had the Gentile section, the women Jews, the men Jews, and then the temple itself. And so we know that this takes place in the women's court. And you look at all the Sunday school material, and you Google the images, and you have Mary and Joseph, and you have Simeon standing next to them, holding up the child. And so often, the pictures are so very interesting. In the background, like 5-10 feet away, stands this extremely elderly woman, Anna. And what did she say? She gave thanks to God, an aged widow. Give thanks for God for what? For the redemption this child is to give. Redemption? Redemption? Redeem? What does redemption look like in this child? Is Anna being given a vision of his death and resurrection? Oh, it's going to be so interesting to talk to Anna in heaven. Did you really see the crucifixion and the resurrection? Did you understand those words when you said, "redeemed us"? I think that's exactly what she saw. She was a prophetess, meaning she saw the future, and she spoke of the future. Even though she was a woman in that culture, she was recognized as a prophetess to them and to us. The redeeming act of death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection to give us life. Two believers looking for comfort and redemption. Comfort and redemption. Righteous people. Admitting their sins and waiting for the Redeemer. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this word. We thank you, Jesus, for Simeon and for Anna. We ask you, Lord, to give us the same faith, the same patience in waiting, the same looking forward to comfort and our redemption. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.